This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I crack open some cans from Beguile as we talk about our Illinois Craft Beer Week adventures. It's just getting started. We're in the middle of it right now, but we got Bug, Dark Lord Day, more releases, Ultra Fresh, a handful of other events we've made it to. So grab yourself a beer and let's get into it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to cork pop out. Boom, there's flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are in the middle of Illinois Craft Beer Week, surviving.
Dude, that was one of the most intense weekends I've ever had in my life, man. It was wild, man.
Right, we're gonna get into that here in a minute. But as always, we are drinking Illinois beer, and of course it's Illinois Craft Beer Week, so we have to be representing here this week. We got the Beguile Sunny Afternoon American Pale Ale.
Yeah, man, this is a straight up, easy going, no frills American Pale. They throw a little wheat and a little oats in here, and Citra.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a solo. It's a smash beer.
A smash beer. Okay. They had
no smash is single malt, single hot. So okay. This is just single hot beer.
Okay. Yeah. They were pouring this beer at Ultra Fresh, which we'll dive into here in a little bit too. But yeah, this is one of their new releases. Just put in these these clear cans. So they must have canned it at the brewery themselves and kind of just cranked it out that way.
The crew over at Saint Arant was brewing at Microphone with the big 765 bottles.
Yeah.
Now they're brewing at Beguile, and their first release looked just like this, Tall Boy cans with the waterproof label on them.
Okay. Yeah, it's a super easy way to just to get stuff out, right?
Yeah.
Especially with all the beer releases. It's like, this is just as exciting as a bomber. It's like, oh, we got four packs coming out today.
Right.
It's good. But I'm digging this beer. It's only 4.9%, so it's super easy drinking. I could see this being around for most of the summer.
Yeah.
If summer ever comes.
Don't even start, man. It's been like Halloween weather all fucking spring.
I know. Horrible. Yeah. All right. So, Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Yes.
It kicked off with Beer Under Glass, but more importantly, well, I guess more. See, it kicked off before that. On that day for you, early in the morning, Friday morning.
Friday morning, man, about 7 a.m. out in Villa Park, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Hello. Had to look that place up, man. Yeah. So Moore is out there. Moore is not even a year old probably, right? Well, they were 6 months old when they won FOBAD in November.
Okay.
So these boys have Henna, which is their big stout series. And the barrel-aged versions of that came out this week.
Okay.
So
is Henna the one that – no, that's not – is this the one that won at FOBAB?
Yeah, Henna's the one that won at FOBAB. Barrel-aged Karma won at FOBAB, which is a stout, but not the Henna series.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It's weird. Yeah, so Henna's a stout, and I think Karma's a stout. The Henna releases for this were day one was Vanilla Caviar. Day two was Double Rainbows. Day three was Swirl. Yeah.
What Swirl?
Swirl is barrel aged with chocolate and vanilla. Double Rainbows, I believe, is chocolate and strawberry barrel aged Henna.
Okay.
And Vanilla Caviar is the vanilla version in rye barrels.
Damn. Okay.
Of Henna. Yeah. And dude, this whole scene is kind of impressive to me because A, they're super young, but then like B, like this guy, the brewer Sean Burns, he took gold for a chocolate beer in 2016. Mm-hmm. Right back when he was at Ram in Schaumburg. So the kind of frenzy where the people are showing up at 5 in the morning for 800 bottles, that started at Ram, and it followed him to Moore.
Wait, they were doing that at Ram?
They were doing those kind of releases at Ram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then if you're in like, they have these really cool, almost like genie bottle looking bombers. And yeah, people were lining up to get his stuff at Ram. So he announced he was leaving. I think Microphone tried to sign him, but he ends up going with Moore, a brand new brewery.
Right, sure.
In Villa Park. Yeah. And the coolest thing about this brewery is that it sits like a couple storefronts away from a nature trail. So when you go to the bottle release, you know, there's like 900 neck beers in a nature trail, right? And it's like, it's so bizarre because, like, I've been outside waiting at Black Friday, you know, in front of Denny's. And, you know, you feel like a schmuck because all the worker bees are looking at you like, look at these.
Yeah,
these.
What are these guys doing?
But here you're actually, like, in nature. It's actually, like, very relaxing.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, it was a fun time, man. Yeah, so you get the beer, then you $25 a bottle. Once you get your beer, you have to get into another line if you want to try
it. Was it one bottle, two bottles?
One bottle per person.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, one bottle per person. Later on that day, they were saying that release number two on Saturday, Double Rainbows, was trading straight up one for one with Chemtrail Mix, which is the Dark Lord variant that was the best variant last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dark Lord variants are hit and miss, but Chemtrail was 500-foot home run. It was fantastic.
Okay.
Like, straight-up French toast crunch. Like, delicious. Yeah.
I don't know how anyone keeps these straight. You're drunk at these things. You're drinking them. Your memory is very cloudy from all everything you're drinking and then what you drank an entire year ago. You're going to still say Chemtrail is that good.
I'm telling you, man. Chemtrail is, well,
year of drinking.
I was a huge...
where your palate changes and you've killed many of brain cells, and that's still that good.
Is that what we're doing? We're killing brain cells. But, dude, I mean, I think like Chemtrail last year was so good that it was hard to believe that Dark Lord was the base beer, right? That's how good it was. You're like, well, this can't be the same thing
because
OG Dark Lord is not very good at all.
Like,
it wasn't good at all last year. So, yeah.
So you made it day one.
Yeah. So that was Friday.
Yeah.
And then Friday night,
Beer Under Glass.
I saw you at Beer Under Glass.
In Garfield Park Conservatory. This was the ninth year, right?
Yeah.
Did we say ninth year? So next year should probably be pretty special with that 10-year anniversary. It was wet and cold.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Which it wasn't like as bad as some years. But that event, when it is nice weather, it is amazing. And when it's not so nice weather, it's kind of eh. And that's something they can't control just because it's an event that's half indoor, half outdoor. So it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first beers I had were out in the, I started to bring my map. But
yeah.
The Bluestone Terrace, which is straight to the back, the furthest west point you can go.
Okay.
And that's where, like, your microphones and your Moors, where I had an Imperial Bean Spirit, the barrel-aged version.
Microphone had a huge line the whole time.
Yeah. And
Moor had no line.
Oh, nice. Because
like, almost any time I happened to walk by there.
At 5, when I got there about 5, there were, like, 50 people in line for Moor. And I'm like, well, what's going on here? Yeah. And it was Cafe Henna.
Okay.
Cafe Mocha Henna.
Okay. I know we... when I was rolling with Sergio, we ended up grabbing a beer from there. I couldn't even tell you what we had.
Yeah. I think the beer that surprised me the most is how good it was Passion Police from the West Loop guys, Cruz Blanca.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a lager with hibiscus and passion fruit in it. It's a collab with Collective Arts. Shout out to the Collective Arts guys, man. Tom from Hyperview's down with that team.
Yeah.
And we met some of the guys from Ontario. We talked to them at Bug a little bit.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, but that beer was fantastic, man.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I go in, I usually just start at the A's. I kind of work my way through the entire alphabet,
right,
and then I kind of go back and dabble again. So I went kind of right outside there over by Blue Island and things like that. And Blue Island was doing a Manhattan Project where they were doing like cherry simple syrup, putting a cherry in, and then putting one of their barrel-aged stouts or ales in the beer. And that was great. That was probably my favorite thing I drank that whole time. It was maybe a little sweet, but overall it like stood out from the whole event, like, well, that was the most interesting thing and best thing.
Yeah. I think the people that I ran into, you know, I saw Josh Siegel from Lou Dog Events. I saw, you know, Ian Hughes, who just took a job with the BA Association, and they both were raving over Work First Brewings. They had a brown ale, and they had the other two beers. I forget.
Okay.
But they both mentioned go back there, and that's how I ended up back there for, like, you know, I stayed there for, like, an hour just hanging out.
I think it was, like, kind of – that was at – towards those end of those letters, and it's kind of dark and cold by the time I make it over there. So I'm like, let me use the bathroom and let me get a rosé cider from Virtue and I'm out.
Yeah, okay. Dude, I found myself leaning towards, I ran into the Around the Bend guys.
Yeah.
Well, the guys and the gals, Lindsay. I ran into Lindsay and then I ran into, you know.
Dan.
I ran into Dan. And Lindsay was really excited about the Arclight. I believe they make meads up in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a few of their items. The only time I ever saw them was at, what was the closing ceremony before this one that they stopped doing? The one near Half Acre.
Yeah.
That party. Mm-hmm. Whatever that party was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wells Park. That's the only time I've ever had their stuff, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was excited to get to them. Yeah. Great way to kick it off, man, just because everybody's there, just because you're at the conservatory probably for the only time all year.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, everywhere you turn, somebody's pouring, like, some of their A-game stuff. It was good stuff.
Yeah, and especially, like, around the band, I know just they sold out. They happened to sell out pretty quick or ran out of beer. They actually didn't sell out. They put sold out, but, you know, weren't selling anything.
Sold out.
And, you know, turning people on to that beer, it's like, oh, you got to try that pistachio cream ale. And
yeah, that is a good one. I should have like actually had that.
But it's – I've said it before. It's really hard to go to some of these fests and then venture out to some other beers that you haven't had or like, oh, well, I want to talk to this guy from – I want to talk to Tom from Penrose. And then you're there for, like, 5 minutes and you're sipping on something and then, like – oh, who else? Well, there's Peace. Okay, let me get that, see what they have. And you, yeah, like, sometimes miss stuff. I did try something from Open Outcry,
yeah,
which I haven't had any of their stuff. But, yeah, it was a good time overall.
Yeah, my plans always go out the window. I'm looking at the map, and I'm looking at breweries I'd never go to. And I'm like, all right, cool, I'm hitting them first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might hit one or two, and then before you know it, you see everybody you know, you find out what they're drinking, and you just go drink that. I just end up drinking what other people are excited about.
Right.
And my little list just, like, takes a back
seat. It's gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe at the closing festival this Friday, maybe I'll try to make sure I, like, try to drink beers that I've never had or never heard of.
Yeah, and they do a good job. I know there was, near 100 breweries at this one. And I know some breweries just couldn't get in. I think they did a lottery system or something this year. Like Mars was saying that they didn't pour their beers there. For beer in a glass, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, but like the Good Libations, they're going to be like over 60 breweries.
Yeah.
So yeah, perfect opportunity to just like really get after some of the spots that we haven't seen.
Yeah. But yeah, I was doing a Instagram story. So that's saved up on our Instagram page if you need to go back and see some of the stuff that happened there if you want to remember it from your drunken haze as well. It's all there on our Instagram page, so check that out. Then the next day...
Are we drinking the same beer?
Yeah, the same beer.
Oh, all right. Yours is like way darker than mine.
Oh, maybe it's the lighting here.
Okay, never mind.
The next day was Dark Lord Day.
The 13th annual Dark Lord Day. That's according to Dark Matter. Yeah, I think Dark Lord Day, the festival, there's been 13 bottles for sure.
Yeah.
But it they had the party before they started packaging the beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But there was also day two of the Moore event. Did you go to Moore beforehand?
Dude, this was intense, man. This was such an intense thing. Like, I don't really know. I felt like I ran into Matthew Powers. He writes for a couple, places. And all we do is complain of, like, old men about how... you know, medicine's too much. We can't do this all the time. And first thing he said to me at Bug was like, man, it's like the third day of Great American Beer Fest, but this is only day one. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Okay. Yeah,
so I probably won't be doing that again next year, but I was just so excited. And then I never went the route of like those hardcore beer traders and hardcore like brewery release dudes. That's like a different level of nerding, I think.
Yeah.
And I've actually never participated in that before this weekend.
Okay.
So I think that was the driving, you know, more so than more, because I've never really. And you know what? Other thing, man, I was tired of always hearing about these fucking beers and like never having them.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't really had more except for beer in a glass, and it's, you know, it's the love child right now because they won Phobab and. You know,
yeah, so
it's like the opposite side of the suburbs from Microphone, so,
right? Yeah, so they're like, so we were on the west side for Bug, so you keep going, you hit Oak Park, you keep going, you hit Elmhurst, and then after Elmhurst, you hit Villa Park,
right?
And, I think the heat map is directly on more. So look at 2016 gold for the chocolate beer.
Yeah.
Then follow that up with a FOBAB win, like best in show at FOBAB, and then follow that up with the a win at Goose Island Stout Fest.
Yeah.
So you're talking literally the best stouts on the planet, and this guy's coming out on top every time. So it's unique as far as like, all right, cool, we're gonna get 3,000 people to our party, and we just opened 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Like that's
no, yeah. The ones I've had, they're great. You start to question the beer geekism of it all. Like, are they top because the beer is good, or are they top because people are talking about it?
Right. Is it the hype train, or are these beers really that good?
And that's where something like Goose Island's releases forever were always at the top because there wasn't a lot of people doing those barrel-aged beers. And, like, you talk about them and, oh, you got to try this one, blah, blah, blah. And it would just snowball into this. And now Moore's having that maybe same effect, which they're good, and it's tough to say.
It's an interesting dynamic.
I don't think that's an argument that's winnable, right? You can't.
It depends on who you ask. And it's funny you say that, because that leads us right into Dark Lord Day, where we were talking about how, you know, Chemtrail last year was the runaway favorite. But then this year, you know, like on tap, first of all, Dark Lord 13, all the variants were on tap, which was pretty cool. So we're talking like maybe eight or so.
Yeah.
And you know, Floyd's, man, they got this fucking love affair with these really weird sweet wine barrels. And it drives me nuts, because I just don't, maybe I don't understand it. Somebody at the festival saying, well, everything they make on Dark Lord Day is all about 20 months. It peaks around a 20-month mark. So maybe that's what I'm not understanding. But it all seems like very, the wine barrel stuff last year, right? It all just seemed very flabby, like bloated, like overly sweet for the sake of being sweet, not necessarily to make a statement. You know what I mean? Like, am I making sense?
I guess, but you also get up in that alcohol level, that 13, 15%. That's a lot of sugar.
That's true. Like, you can't get to 15 and above without being
super sweet. Like, it's
that's true. Yeah. So my favorite ones on the day were Chemtrail and what they call Marshmallow Hangi, which is actually vanilla bourbon barrel-aged Dark Lord.
Okay.
It's just called Marshmallow Hangi. I was sitting next to a guy. So on the IG picture, I took a photo of all the bottles. And at the time, I'm talking to a guy who I thought he said Drawn and Quartered, which was the only rye barrel aged one. Well, that's not true. Chemtrail is also on rye barrels. But this is Drawn and Quartered is straight up rye barrel aged Dark Lord.
Okay.
He said he had a sip of that and immediately traded his Hangi for it, which was kind of a surprise to me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So now I'm on a hunt for Drawn and Quartered, but I've never had it. I ran into Nick Kornerski's wife, who actually, you know, Nick is a brewer at Dark at Floyd's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you had Drawn and Quartered? She's like, it's good, but it's not Hangi good.
Oh, okay.
Hangi's like kind of magical good. Like, it was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Not having any of these now, I have no idea. It just sounds like you're just making up words.
Yeah, man. Floyd's, they like the Spanish port wine barrels, and they like a lot of syllables. They like words with a lot of syllables in them for the variants. Yeah. So I had those. I will say that, man, I had the day after, they have the day after rotating taps. So you can go back on Monday and probably even Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever's on tap is on tap. So I had Brotella, which was a port wine barrel aged.
The next day.
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. So that was Sunday?
Yeah.
So you didn't leave.
So I haven't been home in 5 days, Brad, is what I'm saying. But, you know, I will say that, you know, in comparison to last year's, I thought the wine barrel, like the wine barrel ones, the one that I had, even the Brotella that I had, it actually, like, all the things that make wine enjoyable were the tannins actually complemented the base beer in this case.
Okay.
When in the past, like for me, like on French Vanilla Militia, right, which is coffee, vanilla, Dark Lord in a wine barrel.
Okay.
Right. I thought it being in a wine barrel made it kind of messy. Like, I didn't like it. But I thought this Brotella, it actually kind of enhanced the Dark Lord.
Interesting.
You know? So that's just my, you know.
Okay.
But yeah. Good time. Good time at Dark Lord Day.
So we are next week, we're going to try to have a bottle. We're going to drink the regular Dark Lord.
Yeah, we should try the OG. We do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
We should keep that tradition.
Because you just went for the event. You didn't even go to get bottles.
No, I was just there hanging out. You know, and I was like, well, if there's 1 year, I actually like this route, man, because you know what? The ticket's $180.
Yeah.
But if you know, if your friends just want to hang out at Dark Lord and like, hey, do you want to go? You can just buy a few beers on tap and then maybe try a few beers that are being shared. And before you look up and you will have tried them all.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of a win than
so but you still spent $180 to get in before buying any beer, right? Or is $180
for the 180 includes the beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think the math comes out to like, you know, like 50 for the variant you're going to get, and then you get four originals.
Okay.
So that justifies the 180 for most people.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Fun time, man. I mean, I don't know why I like that place so much. I mean, but I was thinking like, man, you know, I did kind of, I grew up not far from there.
You know?
I grew up in like Tinley, you know, and that's like maybe 10 miles away. So maybe that's why. Cause you know, I've taken everybody from like, you know, my kid to my mom, to Floyd's, right?
Right.
You know, my first big party I ever went to was Dark Lord Day. So maybe there's like kind of sentimental attachment there. Okay. But part of me, when I'm there and I'm listening to this metal show, I'm like, why do I keep coming to this party? It's because, you know, it is nostalgic on a few levels. So,
okay. Yeah. How did regular Dark Lord Day taste this year into other years, where people often mention soy sauce or too sweet or things like that?
Yeah, I had just a little corner of the OG. So in the past, I wasn't, you know, I think in the past, the original Dark Lord is kind of an afterthought. You're going there for those variants. And even like on their 20th anniversary, when they did like maybe 10 plus variants.
Yeah.
A lot of those are hit and miss, you know. Huh. But I think like one thing's for sure, like out of all the variants they release every year, they're going to nail one of them.
Okay. That's pretty sad to say, right? Like. Well, if you take four shots, you're going to hit something.
They're going to nail one of them. Like, I always thought, and, you know, I always thought that, yeah, I'll say that.
Okay. Ouch.
But but this year, man, I thought Chemtrail and Hanji were both really good. I thought Brotillo, the wine barrel ones that I traditionally hate, I actually thought was quite enjoyable at the pub.
Okay.
You know, even with food, I thought it was great. You know, so, and I'm really excited to try this Drawn and Quartered, which is a rye barrel one. I'm really excited to try that. So,
awesome. Well, that was going on out in Indiana, just across state lines. And then also that evening was Ultra Fresh.
Right on.
This was the Hop Reviews event. They were on the episode three episodes ago. And yeah, we were talking about this event. I had not been in the past. You had been in the past.
That's a great party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was able to check it out this time while you were out in Indiana. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I didn't stay too long because had dinner plans, so I didn't want to like go out trashed afterwards. But
like smacking with your mouth, laughing with your mouth full of food.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking too loud.
But yeah, you're just there's so much great beer that's fresh. It's like it's bright. It's very like you want to try it all because it's something you won't get to experience again. We're trying a barrel aged stout. It's like, oh well, another month in the bottles. You're not gonna notice that over this time. Like,
yeah.
But 5 days versus 2 months, you might notice that.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of there. That concept kind of reminds me of like, you know, why you would go to Oktoberfest in Munich, right? Because, like, it's the beers that you get that, you know, it's not a direct comparison, but the beers over there that they serve at Oktoberfest, when you get them here, they're like shell of themselves, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You go there, it's a whole different experience. And I think, like, you know, this isn't an exact correlation, but, you know, having it in that way is totally different from how you would have it in most cases as far as, like, having, like, 20 of them that way.
Uh-huh. Right? So you get in, they give you a welcome beer. I don't know if they did this in the past, but they were giving out Sun Crusher. Nice. That was, you know, packaged within 5 days. So you instantly walk in and you have a can of beer, which is cool but slightly awkward because now do you open this can and drink it or do you go and grab another beer and hang on to the can for a little while, which now you have two things in your hand. You have the glass and...
So now you're committing to 12 ounces out the gate.
Right, yeah. And they're all like, most of the beers there were pretty low ABV because they're all like super fresh beers. Mm-hmm. They're like, I don't know, anywhere from that like 3 to 7% range, most of them. But I ended up just holding on to my Sun Crusher, deciding like, you know what? I want to blaze through a few beers before I maybe dive into this. And I know what Sun Crusher tastes like. I've had it before.
Right.
So one of the first beers I grabbed was the beer from Mars.
Oh, right on. What did Mars have?
Beer.
Oh, that's what it's called.
It's called beer. Which is slightly confusing, but I believe this was the second time brewing it or their second version. I overheard someone mention. So that was pretty tasty. Beguile had our sunny afternoon that we're drinking now. It was good. I couldn't tell you now if that fresh version was better than our, you know, month old version.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was perfect for that day. What else did I have? I had something from Maplewood and, you know, just like it was all super local because it has to be there in 5 days. So all the breweries are like really close by. You realize like just how hyper local you can get
right.
at an event like that. So, yeah, that was a super cool time. Like I said, I didn't stay for too long, but they had a DJ playing. They had a guy painting the sign. They had T-shirts getting printed. Great turnout, not too packed. You could walk up to any spot, grab a beer without really waiting in line at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, dug it.
I hate I missed that one, man. That's a good time.
Yeah.
And it's a unique backdrop because it's at that, you wouldn't really go to Right Way Signs otherwise. You know, mm-mm. I think every other place on the circuit we've probably been.
Yeah.
So...
But yeah, I took a bunch of pictures, posted those on our Facebook page, as well as a bunch from Beer Under Glass. So check that out if you missed that event and you want to see some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Right on.
Cool. So that was our Saturdays. Did you do anything then Sunday or Monday?
I didn't do a goddamn thing.
Sobered up.
Sunday. I chilled very hard.
Okay.
Shout out to Pints and Provisions. They're a podcast down in Peoria. I ran into them at Dark Lord Day.
Oh, cool.
They gave me some gems on how to participate in next year's bash that I'm very excited about.
Nice.
Yeah. Made it up to Ravinia for a little bit. You know, they got a new bar at Ravinia. You know, Ravinia is like classic Chicago, right?
Right.
Classic BYOB concert Chicago. Mm-hmm. And the new bar actually sells wine and beer, but they made the policy so that you can still bring your own.
Oh, that's cool.
If you want. They kind of act as like, you know, hey, you can pregame with us and you can also come back at intermission. But,
oh, that's neat.
But still bring your booze. And if you don't have any, you can buy some from us. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
And I made a trip to the Recurring Pipe Dream, which was Pipeworks pop-up.
Yeah.
It was different this year because, like, last year they were releasing the Run the Jewels beer as part of the pop-up. And this year there was no new releases necessarily, so it was a little more subdued than years past.
Okay. Yeah. But I bet it was packed over the weekend.
Yeah, over the weekend it probably was packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Collective Arts, man. We talked about the collab they had with Bug, the Passion Police, with Cruz Blanca. That was really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, but they also threw a launch party last week at Sleeping Village, which is a place I had never been.
Nice.
So that's the sister project to the Whistler in Logan.
Okay.
Where it's like a live music venue, and they got like 60 taps and like a really beautiful like outdoor little patio situation.
Oh, cool.
And
okay.
It's like the big wooden planks, so it's sealed from the street. So you can actually get work done there. You know.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty cool. So yeah, made it to those places.
Awesome. And that Pipe Dreams event or pop up, that'll be happening all through the week. So I think it'll probably run through the weekend. I don't think it'll end Friday. They'll probably, you know, cash in for the weekend. Right. If they're smart. So it'll probably end Sunday. But I know it runs through Craft Beer Week.
Yeah.
So. Cool. So then that brings us to right now and what's coming up this week, what's on the
right
calendar.
Here. Right now.
There are plenty of events, like we've always said during Craft Beer Week. Go to the website, find something else. We're going to talk about a few of them here, mention them, some of the ones that we've noticed, some of the ones that sound cool or checking out. But what do we got?
Right on. Well, I think the Northwest side, man, is waving the flag for cool stuff. So for the rest of the week, man, we'll start with Thursday. That's the 24th. So the Northwest Side Ride, that's a Lake Effect event. So they got the Reggie's Rock Bus and they got the Barrel Run. And they're going to, this is a 9-bar rotation. It's going to feature 10 breweries at each stop.
Yeah.
So then up there, you're talking, at this point, you're talking Root Hippo, Aris, the new cider beer house, and then Lake Effect. You get on at any of the stops. And you try one of the 10 breweries, and it's a showcase for the Northwest side for their breweries as well as their bar situation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, sneaky good bars on the Northwest side. And then also going on up there Thursday is Old Irving Beer Fest.
Okay.
So this actually sounds pretty good, man. Old Irving is inviting 20 breweries out, actually 26 breweries. It's an indoor beer fest from 6 to 9 on Thursday. $25 and you can try 26 beers.
At Old Irving.
At Old Irving. I might actually go to that.
So it's a beer fest inside a brewery.
Yeah, so they're going to just clear out everything and just have your jockey boxes. And the Northwest side represents hard, probably because it's like, you know, once you're there, it's like it's not the easiest place to get to, you know. Like,
right.
Like, like Cicero and, you know, Montrose.
That's cool.
It's kind of hard to get to.
Okay.
You know, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Those are both on Thursday.
All right.
Oh, also on Thursday, Scratch is taking over the Beer Temple.
Nice. Yeah,
and
okay.
I think that's the only tap handle for Scratch
in the city.
In the city is at Beer Temple.
Cool. So, yeah.
So those are all on Thursday.
So get over there, get some Scratch beers. I know they're hard to get, and yeah, that's a good spot to check it out. I didn't even see them at Bug.
No. I like to try their stuff because they different and interesting, but then also often it's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Cool. So then Friday.
Right on. Friday is closing ceremonies.
Okay.
Grand opening, grand closing. Good Libations. This is a new party. This hasn't happened before. I hope we continue to see this concept because I think originally the plan was to have the closing ceremony be in a different space every year.
Okay.
And then I think it took a few years off, the closing ceremony. We didn't have one, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Good Libations is a theater on the lake. So it's a tropical-inspired beer event. I don't know what that means.
But all right.
Yeah. It's from 6 to 9 on 6 to 9 on Friday. General admission $60. Of course, it's a fundraiser for the Guild, which is a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And then, tropical attire is also encouraged.
Nice.
Yeah, and you're going to have food from Cletus Friedman, man, who was briefly at, he had his own thing at City Provisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
It was at Fountainhead.
And then he was the director for Eats at Fountainhead.
He's no longer there, right?
Yeah, he bounced around for a little bit after City Provisions closed. Fountainhead and then like another spot. And then now he's at Theater on the Lake. I've never been to Theater. I didn't even know Theater on the Lake was there.
No, me either.
It's like a seasonal playhouse. Is that a thing? A theater house. What do you call a place that shows theater plays?
Like a theater? Yeah.
It's a theater.
You're going to the theater.
It's a seasonal theater.
Okay.
What is wrong with this show, man? What is wrong with me today?
I don't know. Also, Friday is the new can release at Alarmist, Le Juice.
Le Juice.
And this is their new, one of their big New England IPAs. So they have their new canning line, which they can now do can releases at the brewery. So that should be great for them, great showcase of what they're doing up there.
Right on. Yeah. So that is Friday.
Yep.
I actually got nothing on Saturday.
Okay. That's where everyone, this might be like that brewer's brunch that Haymarket does sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, craft beer week ends, so you got to sober up.
Right. Non-drinking day. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Memorial Day weekend, so of course you're going to be drinking.
Oh, shit. Is it Memorial Day? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's Memorial Day weekend. Speaking of Memorial Day weekend, I do have one more event, Mayfestversary. We talked about Beguile. So this is a two-day block party, Saturday, Sunday, 17 acts over 2 days. Dogs are welcome, kids are welcome, and this is a joint party between Neighbors, Beguile, and
Dovetail.
And Dovetail,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I believe this is the second time they're doing that.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll be Saturday and Sunday. And then also Sunday, just like that, Off Color's 5 years old.
Damn.
I remember the Off-Color launch party at Black Rock like it was yesterday.
I know. That's crazy. That was 5 years ago? Man, that feels like... It feels like 10, but it also feels like Off-Color has only been around for like 3.
It doesn't feel like 5.
Yeah.
That's true.
But that event feels like 10 years ago.
That event feels like a world... Yeah, that feels like a long time ago. Yeah, I think we were both at that party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we saw... Dino S'mores actually got its inspiration from... Baracha Baker, Courtney Baldy, who was the pastry chef at Floyd's. Then she left to be the pastry chef at Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then she shows up to the Off-Color launch party with s'mores shaped like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later...
We got a beer.
Right.
Bada bing, bada boom.
So Off-Color's turning 5, and they're just saying, hey, we're going to release all our greatest hits.
And this is at the Mousetrap. You can just show up, non-ticketed event. Just kind of show up and drink.
Yeah. I think recently Tony McGee said his favorite brewery was Off Color, in a story I read. And then also when we went to Ballast Point like a week or two ago, mm-hmm. The Ballast Point boys, they were most excited of any Chicago brewery. They were like, we went to the Mousetrap and thought it was spectacular.
Damn, okay.
They really loved the Mousetrap as well. Mousetrap did its thing. I'm surprised. I didn't think Lincoln Park is where they would land. But right. It totally works for them.
Yeah, it's working out pretty well, I think.
Totally works for them.
If it does, like we said earlier, if it ever does warm up for more than a couple days in Chicago, it'll do even better because they have a great patio space. Like, basically, their parking lot is their patio.
Yeah. Memorial Day weekend, you've got three big parties that end the beer week, and then a fireworks season at Navy Pier starts on Saturday.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Saturday at 11 o'clock.
And that means the boats come out, too. People are going to be out there if it warms up.
If it warms up. God. Yeah.
Damn.
All right. That's all I got.
So that's Illinois Craft Beer Week. Any news or?
Yeah, one bit of news. Sunday when I was doing nothing, Goose had their Sunday Fun Day.
Yeah.
Their big blowout Battle of the Breweries as their dodgeball tournament. The final was a Microphone versus Revolution. And Revolution wins again. This is at least their second win. It might be their third.
Well, they're bringing in the ringers, right? They got dodgeball teams.
Yeah, so Revolution wins Goose Island Sunday Funday again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we didn't mention the best thing we drank, but I don't know if I can even remember everything I drank this week. So maybe we'll save that for next week. We'll come back.
Pick one. Just pick one real quick.
Just pick one.
Just don't even think about it.
I can't. It's harder. I think it was a beer.
Beer from Mars. From Mars.
Yeah.
There's a crew called Windmill in Indiana, and they made a beer with Microphone called It Was All a Meme.
Yeah.
It was just haze with guava and apricot.
Oh, that's cool.
When at 7 in the morning on a nature trail.
That was working out pretty well, huh?
I forgot that I should have really had breakfast.
You needed that oatmeal stout or something. Nice. All right. So maybe I'll give it a little more thought. And think about it, because right. I wasn't even checking into beers on tap, so I didn't remember them as much.
It used to be that I would check into beers all the time on tap just to keep track.
Yeah.
But now we just post to IG, and that has replaced Untappd, I think.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So I have to be a little more selective this week. Like, was this the best thing? Think about it for a minute. Well, cool. So you'll likely see us around at some of these events the next few days. But Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch. When we're not recording.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. And then it's on Instagram, Facebook. We're always posting photos, other events that are happening all over the place. So be sure to follow us and like us and, you know, keep in touch everywhere we're at. And we'll be back next week as we end Chicago or Illinois Craft Beer Week. Take care.
Cheers.